नमस्ते, गुड मॉर्निंग एवरीवन। टुडे आई वुड लाइक टू ब्रीफली टच अपॉन द टॉपिक ऑफ सरेंडर। देयर आफ्टर वी विल टेक एनी शेयरिंग्स और क्वेश्चंस दैट यू माइट हैव। दिस वर्ड इज ऑफ एक्सट्रीम इम्पोर्टेंस when it comes to life, daily living, and the relationship with the spiritual guide. Now, if we backtrack a bit, we could all reach the obvious conclusion that as babies, we are surrendered to our parents. We don't have to do anything to surrender to them because we are too nascent, pure being. And the parents are looking after us. Similarly, when we go to school, whether it is our geography teacher, history teacher, biology teacher, whatever subject it may be, we are surrendered to them simply because we don't know much about the subject. So it is quite obvious that they are our teachers and we are the students. Nothing needs to be done to surrender to the teacher, because it is a default assumption that these people know more than me. And so I needn't do anything to surrender to them. Now we come to life and living. As the American mystic Lester Levinson said, when it comes to life and living, aren't these the subjects which should be taught to us in school? Love, life, living, giving. So when it comes to life and living, it helps when we encounter wise ones on the path, including our parents, some siblings, friends, whoever it may be, who can guide us, whose value we cherish. And whom we look up to. So this guidance, even in these cases, one is surrendered to it in the sense we know these people from our own lives. We trust them that they might know better than us. But we may or may not follow their advice based on our intellect. Now we come to the dimension of the spiritual guide, spiritual teacher, spiritual mentor, or the guru. Now we are grown-up adults living and operating in an adult world. Now what happens is, by and large, surrender becomes difficult because the mind intellect is heavily conditioned and refined, thinking it has navigated its life journey so far. And so, what happens is, one views this relationship just as another adult-to-adult relationship. Now, this becomes more common on the path of Gyan Yoga. It is less common on the path of Bhakti Yoga, because Bhakti Yoga is more one could say heart waste. It is simpler, easier perhaps, for someone on the path of bhakti yoga to surrender. So when one accepts that the spiritual guide is to be trusted, that is surrender. Because they are only trying to help me on life's journey. They have my best interests at heart. Now, this is a very important point. Best interests at heart, not at mind. You see, I can't think my way into surrender. Lester said, if you don't trust someone, it means you don't love them. And he was quite right. Just as you trusted your parents, you trusted your teachers, and so on and so forth. When that element of trust is not there in a relationship, in a core relationship, one could say, then the love is not absolute. Now, the guru is nothing but a reflection of one's own higher self. Which means if I don't trust the guru or I don't trust my guide, I don't trust my own higher self. Now let us work with an example. Supposing I have a personality trait which ticks off many people in my life, and I feel that why are my relationships so difficult to manage by and large. And I may even have perhaps sufficient humility to know that maybe something is wrong with me. Many people are not aware of that. Even this much awareness is a great starting point. And so then the guide comes along and offers a new way of seeing the relationships, which one can't comprehend through the mind. So, for example, if the guide says, look, nobody is really doing anything to you, you feel the whole world is pushing your buttons, and by and large, your relationships are rocky, but it is not so. Trust me. Now the student reaches a point where the student has heard something so contrary to their life's experience that are they going to trust it? Or are they going to simply analyze it and try to make sense of it? Now, when a student goes with full trust, then the journey begins. That is why I have repeated this example earlier when the Sufi mystic Bhai Sahib told his disciple, there was a chair in the courtyard. I don't remember what color it was, but let's say it was blue. And he said, look at that black chair. And she replied, it is not black, it is blue. And he said, no, it is black. She said, no, it is blue. And ultimately, she got fed up and told him that if you say it is black, then it is black. And he said, no, you have to see it as black. Could you just hold on, please? Yes, sorry about that interruption. So you see, where there's no trust, there is no love. So this becomes an important turning point when Bhai Sahib says that if I say the chair is a certain color, you have to see it as that color. What is he implying? That you have to transcend your thinking mind, your conditioning, your past patterns, because they have a very limited view. And through that view, you are interpreting the world. And trust me, there's another way. A way which brings peace and equanimity, silence and calm and harmony. These are all attributes of the one self. What does this mean? These are all attributes of the one self. When there's no conflict, when there's no conflict between two individuals, then the natural state is of peace and harmony. When there's no conflict with myself, the natural state is of peace and harmony. Therefore, peace, harmony, equanimity, and calm are attributes of that one self because there is no disturbance. The disturbance is in the split mind, in the individual mind. That is why Lester Levinson said we have to see eye to eye, which does not mean EYE to EYE. It means eye to eye. If we keep seeing through the eyes of individuality and we keep seeing personalities and judging personalities all our lives, we are operating in the realm of separation and conflict. But if we see prior to personality, if our gaze is no longer fixed on personalities, but the being expressing itself a certain way, which I may or may not like, but yet that seeing brings about a sense of witnessing, a sense of responding rather than reacting. Reacting is reacting. I am reacting out an old script all the time. Reacting means it's in the past. So, when I see eye to eye, this reactivity, which is again reactivity, is diminished and a response is allowed to emerge as far as the relationship is concerned, including my relationship with myself. So, the surrendered state can only happen. And when it does not happen, all I can do is wish for it to happen. That is all. But if I try to force myself into a surrendered state, I am going deeper and deeper into the quicksand. Because, you see, the ego really can't surrender. It is the sense of doership that has to be surrendered. We had published a book many, many years ago. The title was Surrender, and it was the autobiography of a very senior police officer. And together we chose the title. because not only was it relevant to his work, but because of all the insights he gained through being in this profession, the challenges he faced. For example, I remember once he told me that when his sons were young and at the age when they would go out partying late into the night, he would get calls in the middle of the night, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., saying, "Your son has met with an accident, please come fast." And these were not genuine calls. They were attempts to kill him, to lure him out of his house, to get him onto the road. So you can imagine the heightened sense of alertness and awareness someone in this profession has to be in all the time. Not getting swayed by emotions. And so there was a big learning, I thought, not only for himself, but for the readers. And that is why we chose that title, Surrender. So this me is so afraid and scared, mainly because it feels it is in control of its life. And life is repeatedly showing it. It is not in control. So coming back to that example I gave, when the guide tells the student, "Look here, see your flawed relationships from a different perspective, from a different height. Now the opportunity is presented to see relationships differently. No matter the pain of the past, past hurts, past memories. Now the student is told, look, you are not at peace. Here is an opportunity. Trust me, I know what I'm saying does not make sense to you because you are viewing life and relationships a certain way. Trust me, there's another way." It's very hard for the conditioned mind to trust. So that has to be transcended, and that is surrender above the mind. That is why in Hindu rituals we have the breaking of the coconut, the smashing of the ego at the feet of the source. Symbolic of that. I was quite fortunate because I realized many years later that when I met my spiritual guide, I was already surrendered because that was my life's experience. So when he said statements like, "Thy will be done, this too shall pass, nobody is the doers of their actions," I had fortunately no time involved to see whether he was right or wrong. I knew it was my own life's experience. And I would say, why isn't he saying something which I don't know? But that which I knew came to the forefront because of his words. It was more like a background knowing. He presented the words, but I didn't go through this process of agreeing with them or not. So I realized later that this is not everyone's journey. They need to be convinced. Thankfully, that didn't happen in my case, because that can then be a very long journey. Similarly, when I met Eckhart Tolle, who was a big influence in my life, and he only spoke about the present moment, again, I was very fortunate that I was on some occasions with him physically to sense that presence. So it was not operating at a conceptual level. And ultimately, both were telling me the same thing. One was saying the mind goes into the dead past or an imaginary future. The other was saying be in the now. Different expressions of the same truth. So I'm grateful to God that I wasn't gifted a doubting mind. And finally, before taking your questions or whatever you wish to share, I would like to read out two sentences of an Advaita sage from Maharashtra called Gondavlekar Maharaj. On the same pointer about peace being the hallmark of a sage. We may say that we have met a saint if we get an experience of the peace and contentment which a saint possesses, or if a liking for it arises in us. Once again, as simple as that. So beautiful. You see, we look to these kind of beings to sort out our lives. But what they are actually doing is they are sorting out one's internal state, which then brings one to equilibrium in one's life, to weather the storms, so to speak, to establish one in the eye of the storm. Not EYE, the I. All right. Yes, Shiksha.
Hello, Gautam. Am I audible?
Yes, you are very much.
So I would like to request you something. Is it possible to increase the frequency of the satsang on Zoom?
Let's see what God wills. Hopefully, it seems that it's quite simple to do this, but since we are having two satsangs at home a month, this becomes the third Sunday and there's one Sunday free, so maybe it will happen. There was also this thing about timings of the Zooms. We were experimenting with another slot so that people from different parts of the world could also join in. So we are still going through that process of experimenting.
Okay, thank you very much. I would also like to say something that I tried to attend the satsang regularly. Like, I think last satsang I missed out because I was traveling to Jyotirling. So it is happening to me very frequently that sometime for 15 days or months, I am so much inconsistent with my daily practices, daily rituals. Or my mind is very calm. But suddenly, when I am doing, I'm a researcher, I'm a PhD scholar. So, when there is a task ahead, like when something is coming up, no? Some deadlines are there. So, if there is some deadline or I am getting much into that part of my life, then suddenly my mind is fluctuating, you know, it is not inconsistent with the peace itself. So it was coming to me from within that you need to surrender, you need to surrender. But that voice, I couldn't hear myself. It was an intellectual thing, but I was unable to put it, like I was unable to practice it. Sometime it happens, sometime it doesn't. Like it's still, it is a to and fro motion. I'm just not yet stabilized myself to manage both the things.
Yes.
I don't know how long it will pass, or maybe there are so much to learn how to balance, or there might be certain things which I needed to learn in this phase also. I don't know. I might be I need some clarification from you.
Well,
Sometimes I become, yeah.
everything is a learning. All experiences are here. This is the school of life. And deadlines do bring anxiety. Now, some people love deadlines because then they get focused on the task. Others get anxious when there are deadlines. You see,
Yeah.
so it depends on one's nature. And usually, because of our attachment to outcomes, we get anxious. So it's just like school exams, you know. We would all get anxious when the exams were coming up because we had to perform. So this
It
is
is, yes, sir.
natural.
No, at this point, I'm not attached to the outcome. I have seen myself, I was extremely ambitious. Like, I wanted to reach somewhere. But right now, I'm very okay with everything. But that being okay with everything also give me sometimes, are you like, you are leaving everything? Is it going to be all right? Or like, there are few responsibilities. That thing also coming. I'm not much interested in being a very good researcher or something like that. I'm like, okay, do your 100% or be at peace. Whatever is meant to come, it will happen.
That is the best approach. All you can do is try to do your best. The rest is not up to you.
Sometimes that gives me anxiety. I'm like, okay, you are at peace right now, but is it the right way? Or like, there are some responsibilities also, so are you gonna regret it? Then I'm like, no, just sit calmly. That also gives me anxiety sometimes.
You know what will give you more anxiety? If you do a PhD in peace. That
Yeah. Yes.
the nature of the mind. See, the mind loves anxiety because now it has an identity. Now it knows who it is. I am the anxious one. Now at least I know who I am because. Actually, peace is the death of the mind. You
I've
see?
realized that it just it scares it is just a scared baby who doesn't know if there is uncertainty, you know.
It is a scared baby. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Thank you. And what is the PhD you
Thank
are doing?
you. I'm doing on cancer biology. I'm doing on resistant part of the cancer actually.
Okay. All the best for it. All the best.
Thank you, Gautam.
Yes, Mishti.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I stumbled upon your YouTube videos like from the past 4 months, and I'm so grateful for that because I was going through a very rough patch. I was extremely anxious and I could not get a hold on my emotions at all. And I used to read a lot on J. Krishnamurti before, and even Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, and the entire surrender and, you know, non-doership, that inclination was always there. But I think your videos kind of brought it out more. And from the past 3 to 4 months, I've been meditating on just silence and just being aware of my mind. And it's worked wonders for me. And I am so drawn into the teaching of non-doership and Advaita Vedanta and all of this that when I'm watching these videos, it all just seems so obvious to me that, you know, it is all by God's will and I really don't have a part to play in all of this. And it is a very peaceful feeling, and obviously it's helped in my daily living as well. But as soon as I move into my life in college and as a student, it feels like that learning has kind of evaporated. And I saw that as through time, I was able to kind of, you know, go into that zone again and try to be in that peaceful, controlled state. But there is always this kind of to and fro ping pong ball kind of situation happening with, okay, I'm watching videos every day and I feel good about myself. And for 4 to 5 hours, I'm in that state. And then I go to the normal world, and then it just goes away. And the question that I have is that I feel like this concept, more than being an experience for me, is just becoming an intellectual understanding. And the line between intellectually understanding this concept and actually accepting it and kind of imbibing it into me, there's like a partition between it. And it's difficult for me because the intellectual understanding and watching YouTube videos and, you know, learning about it, though it is very stimulating and very fun, but it is not cutting it for me. I feel like I want more. And I know that there is no end point, or there is no such enlightenment, or there is no, big change that is going to happen. There's always this hunger for something more.
Thank
That's all
you.
I want to share.
You've been very clear. Thank you for that. You see, one should not try too hard to bring that peace into college, let's say, or the working life. It happens
Yes.
naturally. It is like an osmosis. By and by, you will see that it happens by itself. Now, one very important point is you say it's only an intellectual understanding. My question is, on what basis do you say?
Because it all makes sense to me in my head, but it's so difficult to bring it out in real life situations. For example, if a friend of mine just says something hurtful, then I find myself reacting in a way that I don't want to, which is opposite to the teaching. But in my head, I know that I shouldn't act like this. But to actually practically bring it out, it's difficult.
Yes. Now tell me, are you by and large more at peace than you were before the teachings?
Definitely.
So you have the answer. It's not intellectual. See, let me clarify this. It's a very important point you have raised because many of us go through this. Any teaching, whether it is Krishnamurti, whether it is whoever, the great masters you have mentioned, appeals to us because it has already touched our heart. The mind starts processing it later. Otherwise, it would not appeal to you. It's simple. So, what has happened is a teaching has appealed, one has sensed the change in the quality of one's life. The barometer is now towards peace and harmony. But because of past conditioning, I am repeating patterns. I still get hurt. I still say things I should not have said. It's going to take time for new conditioning to override the old conditioning. It is a gradual process, and we have to be thankful that it is gradual because if it is sudden, we can lose our minds. So, step by step, by and by, and even in this situation you mentioned, like I reacted and I don't know why I reacted because it was not in sync with what the teaching says, even that has to be surrendered. Clearly, it wasn't my will. If it was my will, I would not have reacted this way.
Yes.
That is why my teacher would say, allow the teaching to do its job. Yes, on your part, all you can do is try. And try you must. But beyond that, don't force it. Don't force it such that you lose your peace. Don't force it such that you blame yourself because you repeated a certain pattern from the past. The past is entrenched. You see, what happens is these teachings or any wisdom teachings are basically re-inscribing the grooves of the brain, which have been inscribed a certain way. So things are changing. It's going to be a gradual process. And by, over time, it is only when you drive through heavy traffic for many years that suddenly you find you are at peace driving through heavy traffic. Initially, one is very nervous. Even though one has the license, one is nervous. So this is the road of life. This is life's journey. Everything is a
Yes.
learning, and enjoy it while it's happening.
Thank you.
At your young age, to be in college and to even be so interested in these subjects and to reach where you have reached is a big gift from the Almighty. So
I'm very,
gratitude.
very grateful for it. In fact, this is the thing that has helped me the most, and I want to keep it with me. I feel like I hope this doesn't go away after 6 months when I get happy and when, things change on a material level. I hope it doesn't go away.
It won't go away. Once it comes, it
Yes.
comes. You see,
Thank you.
once a light is switched on in a dark room, it is switched on. So we
Yes.
needn't worry. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. That was beautiful. Thank you for sharing this. Yes, Maya.
Hi, Gautam.
Hello.
So, in the world of duality, where there is left and right, up and down, everything, I'll give you an example. If I'm sitting in meditation, and suddenly at that moment, the lawnmower guy will come. And he makes a lot of noise. I also know that he's just doing his job. He doesn't know I'm in meditation. He's not doing it deliberately to disturb me. I understand. Now, in the world of duality, if there is a noise, there should be silence. And I should be able to experience the silence at that moment. I also know that I'm reacting to my own mind, not to outside. It's just an event that's happening. It's the same thing if somebody's talking very loud on the mobile and I'm just walking quietly. And the things the mind say is such a finger pointing words, always pointing fingers at others, and I'm right by default. I would like to experience the silence which should be there when I am hearing the noise which I react. And I also don't know where is the reaction. It's not in my hand, it's not in my legs. Where is that reaction in me? And I have come up with the term. It's not my business. Anything happens, I say it's not my business. And I also want to use the term just be. I don't know how to be just be and experience the silence at the same time when there's an argument, when there's a noise, when somebody's talking on the mobile phone, or when somebody repeats themselves.
All right.
Thanks.
So, Maya, I'd like to clear perhaps some misperceptions here. Now, let me give you the example of Krishnamurti, because I know this from someone who was there at an event. When Krishnamurti was entering his car, there was a huge firecracker explosion from some nearby parade or something, and he was shaken up. Once that was over, he got into his car and went. Now, you see, reactions are biological. Some people are built a certain way, others are built differently. There is no one size fits all. So, if the lawnmower man has come and has started it, obviously the preference is I don't want to hear this noise. But the understanding is one has not taken it personally, as you clearly have not taken it personally. Does it mean irritation should not arise and you should be in silence and pretend you didn't hear it? So you see, perhaps when meditation is very deep, I no longer react to the outside noise because generally in the waking state, I am focused on the outside world and on noises. In meditation, I may be aware of the noise, but it may not disturb me to the extent it would have in the waking state. This does not mean that I have to discover the silence while the lawnmower is making his noise. That is too much of an effort. That is too much doership. Firstly, all sounds arise from silence and they dissolve into silence. They don't replace the silence. The attention goes to the sound. So it appears that silence is lost because the attention has moved to the sound. End of sound means it recalibrates back. In the waking state, this happens. Any sound, anything someone says, anything I see, anything I hear, I'm always, it's drawing my attention, the attention of the me. It is exhausting. In meditation, there's an allowing. So I allow anything that arises, including the sound and including the fact that I don't like the sound, even that is allowed. This meditation is an allowing meditation. So I would not really make this to figure out how to discover silence when the sound is there. It needn't be. It is always there. Silence is always ever present. The nature of duality, as you yourself said, is there will be noise sometimes. So be it. The problem is really not the reaction. The problem is in my involvement in the reaction. Hating and blaming the lawnmower man and hating and blaming myself for disturbing my meditation. You see, this is the dubious me. Which wants to claim ownership of everything. That is the problem. That is really the problem. And when this stranglehold of the me is given up, things are seen exactly the way they are. And I may find that if this fellow is coming regularly, sometimes he's disturbing my meditation, sometimes he's not. So be it. So to strive for this perfect silence, which is undisturbed, is quite a challenge one would set for oneself. But just to see the nature of life and living, of sounds and noise, and embrace everything in the field of awareness, including my reaction to it, I think that is a job well done. So you already said that you understood it all as far as the lawnmower man is concerned. He's not doing it to me. That is all there is. That is really all there is, as simple as it may sound. As simple as it may sound, it is all there is.
Are we all reacting to our mind, not to the outside events?
You could say that. You could say that there is nothing outside because all our thoughts and beliefs are within our own consciousness. It appears because this is the manifest world that things are external to us. But the fact is, everything you are seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, and touching is because you are conscious. If you were not conscious, this would not happen. Therefore, isn't it happening in one's consciousness? So simple. Therefore, what is the content of my consciousness? Is it one of blame, judgment, condemnation, ill will, spite, hatred, malice, jealousy, envy, pride, arrogance, guilt, and shame? Or is it a healed consciousness at one with itself? Understanding the nature of duality, but not getting mired in it. Into a situation of me versus the other and me versus me, but in me and the other and me and me. This is really not a quest for being a Buddha when I'm dealing with people and being established in the silence, no matter what they say and no matter what they do. No, it is not that. But when I see that the person in front of me is playing out their script precisely the way it has been written,
Yes.
it lifts a big load off my shoulders. You see, that is why Lester said, you know, his teachings were all about love, but I call it the love of Advaita because he was given 2 weeks to live when he had his second heart attack at the age of 42, and he lived for another 42 years.
Yes, I know.
You see, so he said the turning point for him, Maya, was when he said he allowed people their beingness. He allowed people to be the way they are, including myself. And then I find when that allowing happens, all these so-called negative qualities start dropping away by themselves. When I no longer want to change the world and change people, I am at peace with the world. I am at peace with myself. What else is there?
In this book,
Yes.
it is the same question. And do you say the question is, when I react this way, is that the will of God?
There's nothing which is not the will of God. It has already happened, right? If it was my will, I could have controlled it.
Yes.
It has already happened. But does it mean it has to continue happening? Time will tell. That is why the focus of the spiritual journey is not what happens in life, as my teacher would say, pleasure or pain, but on one's attitude to life. And my attitude to life is my attitude to the other. The other can be a person, or it could even be an event, anything. Goldsmith would say, your neighbors are not just your physical neighbors. The thoughts in your mind are your closest neighbors. So what is your attitude to your neighbors? So when that is healed through the teachings of Advaita, which is basically not true, then that healed consciousness is what brings about the peace and harmony in daily living. It is all a healing maya. It is really, this spiritual journey is a journey of healing. Ultimately, it comes down to that, healing from the wound of separation.
Is the end of spread.
Hope you enjoy that book.
So the most important thing, well, all along in my life was to make money, to reach somewhere, to get a man, security, everything. Everything is gone. Luckily, I'm doing very well, but everything what I relied on has gone. The most important thing to me is that I should always be at peace, irrespective of whatever happens or not happens. I have put myself in a position that at this moment I should be at peace. Even when I come out of this question and answer, my mind should not say to me, I should have said that, I should have said that, I should be at peace. And all these are just alphabets and words, and they have some emotions and some memories. But that means I have to withdraw my attention from all of this. But it's quite a struggle for me.
Maya, that is the Maya. You don't have to do anything. Life has taught you that your peace is not dependent on the externals, whether it is a house, money, man, whatever it may be. That is your learning, as is everyone's learning in life. Things come and go. I thought I would get peace from the material world, the outside world. It didn't happen. So leave this quest for peace to God. Do not try to control peace in your life, because that will be a very tiring endeavor. So it does not mean staying away from things, objects, relationships, but being in it all and finding one's peace. It is not a shunning away of the material. It is this understanding flowering, which the Buddha said, samsara is dukkha, nirvana is shanti, but they are not two. You cannot find peace away from all this, you find it through it. When we live these teachings, this too shall pass, thy will be done. Nobody is a doer of their actions. By and by, we find that we are becoming more peaceful as individuals. Yes. The earnestness for peace is there, because I've realized I've suffered when I've tried to find peace in the outside world. So I'm earnestly wanting it. But this wanting should not be replaced with the word should, which comes up during the day many times. I should not go there. I should not get attached to this person. I should not buy that. I should not do that. That is punishment. So it is almost like there's a very thin line which is waiting, a thin thread which is just waiting to be snapped as far as you are concerned, because life has not only given you the experiences that everything is transient, but has put you onto the spiritual quest and spiritual inquiry. But please let it flow. Don't make this a should and should not. Enjoy it. Relax into it. That your relationship is only one. It is your relationship with God. Relationship with God means when I'm dealing with people who have all been created by the same source consciousness, I'm ultimately dealing with God. When I'm dealing with events in my life, who has created those events? God. So I'm dealing with God. When I'm dealing with myself, who has created me? God. I'm dealing with God. Let that be the dimension of looking at everything. Let everything happen in a normal, natural way. Live my life normally. Meet people. Take the risk of being hurt if it is meant to happen. I will find a different dimension opens up. This is not about building walls so that my peace is secure. It is about breaking down the walls and finding that peace is truly everyone's nature. Many don't know it, including myself, but everyone is on the journey of discovering it. It is not about building walls. It is not needed. It is not required. It is not that I must protect my peace and therefore should and should not do things. Nothing like that. You know, I think it was Lester who said, if you even trust a crooked man who is known to be crooked, that man will never be crooked with you. Because Maya, ultimately everything is a feeling. And the gift of Advaita is it brings about a sense of neutrality and objectivity. Because when I see this one source consciousness operating through everyone, including friend and foe, I am no longer polarized by the extremes like I used to be. And when I am no longer polarized by the extremes, my pendulum is not swinging wildly to the left or the right, but is finding its equilibrium by and by, and by and by, and by and by, and by and by. All right? So go easy on yourself. Next time the lawnmower disturbs you, enjoy the disturbance. Be fully disturbed. Be totally disturbed. Don't be the police who is standing over your head. Okay? Thank you.
Thank you.
I've really enjoyed today's exchange. Such delightful beings. Yes, Ganesh.
Namaskar Guruji, how are you doing?
How are you doing after all the 10 days of celebration in your name?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I had enough of snacks for me. Guruji, earlier you have mentioned there is a difference between surrender and surrender of actions. So could you please elaborate on that? That's my first question. And the second thing is that Ramana Maharshi, even though he divided the path, both two paths as self-inquiry and as surrender, but at the end of the day, he said they are all one, they are the same. Could you please shed some light on that thing too?
Frankly, I've not understood either of the questions, because the first question on surrender What is the difference between surrender and surrender in action? Is that what you asked?
Yes. In the satsang, in the earlier, you have mentioned we cannot completely surrender. We can only surrender to our actions.
Our
We can
sense of
only surrender.
doership. We can
Yes.
surrender our sense of doership. You see,
Yeah.
it's the classic example in the Gita, which I often repeat because my guru often repeated it. When Arjuna puts his bow and arrow down and says, I refuse to fight my enemies, and Lord Krishna says, your act of putting the bow and arrow down is doership. Why? Because you were naturally trained to be a warrior. Your whole life, you are born in the warrior caste. The entire programming of your body mind organism is to fight, and you are resisting the natural flow. Not only that, I, the Lord, as time, have already killed them, and you will be the instrument through whom the killing happens. So to surrender the action means the action is not mine. It is the Lord's. That is the learning, that is the core learning in the Gita. And you see, that is when, because Krishna tells Arjuna that a war which has come unasked is a gateway to heaven. And you, by teaching me morality, putting your bow and arrow down, is not going to cut it. You're fooling yourself. And so then, with that realization, taking as Krishna as his guru, then he picks up the bow and arrow. So it is a natural action, but it was forced to be unnatural because the mind came in and said, oh, I should not do this. This is not correct, and so on and so forth. So what is the surrender? Surrendering to the Lord. The action is surrendered to the Lord. Does that help make it clearer?
No, yes, Guruji. And the second thing is that Ramana Maharshi in his talks have mentioned there are two paths
Yes.
for knowing the self. One is self-inquiry and the other one is self-surrender.
Yes.
And at the end of the day, you mentioned that both are the same,
Yes.
both are similar. I want you to, elaborate, like explain what
It's
you
very
mean.
simple because he knew people came to him with different temperaments and mindsets. Now, the simpler folk could not practice self-inquiry. So he said, just surrender is enough. That will take them to their goal. And for those who were primed for self-inquiry, who did the sadhana, that was their path. Just like Nisargadatta Maharaj, you see, people would come to him from all over the world, and very simple people would also come. So to the simpler ones who could not understand the consciousness, the absolute prior to consciousness and such concepts, he would give them the Nama mantra. He would initiate them into the Nama because their mindset was that. Doesn't mean they will not reach the goal. It is based on one's temperament. So Bhagwan similarly said either self-inquiry or surrender. There's that story of I forget the name, the disciple who would be always fanning Bhagwan, right? Very simple man, and he got it. He didn't have to go through the process of self-inquiry. So that's what it means. Which actually means you can't only get realization through the mind. Ultimately, it is all the heart only. You see, that is why Gondavlekar Maharaj said, ultimately, it is peace of heart. Peace of mind is just words which are used to explain things. A mind at peace is a heart at peace. A heart can only be at peace when the realization is there's only one heart. Vishal Hriday, not two. All right. I think we'll take on, maybe we have time for one or two more questions. Yes, Abhishek.
Hello, Gautam. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you doing?
Very good, very good. I just wanted to say hi and thank you for your teaching and guiding us.
Thank you.
No more questions as such, no more doubts.
That's good. That's good.
And there is very wonderful, like one line which I read online about surrender. It said that surrender doesn't mean losing control. It means that knowing that you never had control.
Yes, that's beautiful.
So just wanted to share that. And thank you for everything,
Thank
Gautam.
you. Thank you. Take care. Yes, Saurabh.
Is the voice audible?
Yes.
Touching your holy feet, Guruji. Wish one could convey one's emotions without using words, but I guess that apparently it's not possible on a Zoom meeting. So all one would like to say is thank you, universe, for blessing us with Gautamji, and thank you, Gautamji, for simply just being. There's
Thank
nothing
you.
more to say. Thank you.
Very kind of you. This is a, like become a feel good kind of Zoom. Yes, Subarna.
Yeah, good morning.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. The same question even I had, like in Bhakti Yoga, it's very easy to surrender, and in Gyani Yoga, it's a little bit difficult. And maybe since childhood, I had a surrender type of mindset. But as I'm a student of science, so I moved towards Gyani Yoga. And I started doing Vipassana and so many meditations. And again, after coming back to your teaching, I feel I am surrendered and I am finding lots of peace.
So, what is the question?
The question is actually, I think it has happened because there are so many fake gurus in India, and that's why we divert ourselves towards the Gyan Yoga.
Could be. Ultimately, we find our peace when we are destined to. Not a minute earlier, not a minute later.
Yes, that's true.
Everything is, you see, everything is precisely the way it is meant to unfold in our lives on this journey. It is very beautiful. It's really beautiful.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Lakshna.
Gautam, thank you very much for this Zoom meeting. Firstly, I'd really like to express my gratitude for that beautiful gift of the book that you've given us, Living in Faith.
Yes.
Baba has been my Isht, my guru for years and years, and it has, over the years, maybe it is divine will that he led me to the teachings of Nisargadatta Maharaj, Ramana Bhagwan, and so on. And I'm very grateful, and to you, so grateful for everything. And I realized that, I mean, I've got a hyperactive mind. It used to question so much. It is reducing. But as of last year, I don't know what happened. I mean, it's all been very well. I always used to feel that surrender is the way to do it. I mean, it is. I don't have to force it. Tera tujhko arpan. That's it. But last year, due to a bad wrist fracture and unfortunately wrong surgeries performed, three surgeries, my hand is in a bad state, right one. And I just haven't been able to accept that this was your will. I mean, I feel that maybe I should have gone to another doctor. And the other part of this mind will say, no, but it was divine will. It was meant to be. You had to go to this doctor. And now when I see another doctors, they say that this third surgery which took place, the second one, was not required at all. If the hand was deformed, it was deformed. So that makes me even feel worse. And this has never happened with me, but I don't know what's happened. I mean, I just keep questioning myself. And part of me is fighting with myself. Why am I questioning? When I follow these wonderful masters, why can't I accept their teaching? Why can't I accept Bhagwan's teaching दैट जो होना था वो ही होके रहता है. तो
यस
मैं कौन हूं जो ये सवाल कर रही हूं, एंड येट इट कंटिन्यूज. सो आई वॉन्टेड टू यू नो जस्ट जस्ट आस्क व्हाट डू आई डू.
सी इट्स वेरी सिंपल. इफ एनीवन वाज गोइंग थ्रू अ सर्जरी एंड इट वाज अ बॉट्च्ड सर्जरी और इट वाज अननेसेसरी, यू वुड रियली क्वेश्चन व्हाई डिड आई हैव टू गो थ्रू दैट. Now, ultimate acceptance is the will of God, but certainly the mind will say, "Hey, what did I do wrong? Was I probably deficient in my choosing of the right doctors in any way?" That is the mind which is analyzing, the working mind, so to speak, which wants to figure out so that also mistakes are not repeated in the future. So be it. If I make a wrong decision in business and it leads to a loss, I would love to analyze it so that it is not repeated again. If I make an investment in the stock market thinking it's the best possible investment, it goes down, I must analyze it. Whether I was thinking in a way which was incorrect, whether I thought the best I could and the results were not in my control, this process is a natural process. But the suffering is, if I was to not accept this as the will of God, because it has already happened, it does not mean I don't analyze it. So we don't have to live like zombies saying, oh, everything is fine. Even a fourth surgery would be fine. Even a fifth surgery would be fine. It does not mean that. These things happen. There have been instances where others have also gone through surgeries. I know so many people who have done knee surgeries and back surgeries, which have made their condition worse, whereas the intent was to make it better. So when we accept in our heart that this was the destiny, no matter how much one tried to use one's buddhi, but the results were not in one's control, then there is no ill will, spite, and hate for the doctors or for myself. But it doesn't mean I don't analyze whether I could have thought better or done things in a different way. There's no harm in that. So please don't punish yourself to that degree where it is taking away your peace. And who would want to go through three surgeries when they were not required? So it's all right to not be happy about that. But as long as I have accepted the ultimate will of God, a total acceptance of what is, it's fine. It's absolutely fine. So let's not make this a spiritual ideal of how no thought should arise and I should be in bliss and deep contentment no matter what happens. We are normal human beings living normal lives. We need to question. We need to learn from these situations. Some situations which really don't make sense. Why did I have to go through this? Who knows? A painting can never know why its painter painted it. We cannot ever know the will of God. So all that questioning, that moping, that groaning, that poor me syndrome, that there's no time for now. That is garbage out the window. Yet I do analyze and wonder sometimes why it had to happen. So be it. But that will not disturb my peace to that degree. All right.
Thank you so much. I will work on it.
Is it okay now,
Another?
the hand? Is the hand okay now?
No, unfortunately not. And now, like I said, the doctors I've seen, they say that the damage is done. We can't do anything more invasive now.
Okay, I'm
So
sorry
I
to hear.
live with pain. I live with pain most of the time. And I'm not able to. I used to feel, like Bhagwan and Sri Ramakrishna Paramahans said, that I'm not the body. I can't do it. I mean, it's so palpable, the pain,
Of course,
that,
only the person in pain knows how painful pain is.
yeah, so I can't seem to believe that I'm not the body. I am.
One is identified with the body, one will feel the pain. It's a
Yeah.
natural biological pain you are feeling that is not going to go away. Ramana Maharshi had cancer, Ramakrishna had cancer,
Yes,
both cried out in
yes.
pain. But the damage is not done by the pain that one has to face based on one's destiny. It is the blame, the psychological suffering I have taken upon myself about blaming others and blaming myself for the pain. That part gets mitigated with spiritual understanding.
Yeah, true. It's the
So,
blaming myself, which is, I mean,
yes.
su surprisingly, I did initially, of course, blame the doctors, but with constant prayer, meditation, satsang, I'm able to, that has gone. There's no ill
Yes.
will to anyone. But somehow that thought of self-blame sometimes still comes. That
Yeah.
maybe I chose, maybe I went to the wrong doctor. Maybe I shouldn't have done what the doctors say now it wasn't required. But I, on the other hand, I do know. I'm just finding it difficult to accept that all. I know that it was meant to happen this way, and that is why this doctor got chosen. If I had any say in it, I wouldn't have done it. And
Yes.
yet I'm not able to accept. That is, but the non-acceptance is my question.
But you have to even accept the non-acceptance.
Yeah, that I'm doing. I'm offering it that also in the Lord's feet. I say, ye bhi aapka hai, the
Yes.
negative thought, whatever it is, it's
Absolutely.
yours.
Absolutely.
Please, tera tujhko saup ke kya lage hai mera. But wo
Absolutely.
lagta hai.
Of course. Anyway, I hope you enjoy the new Sai Baba book.
Of course, I'm loving it.
That's
I'm
great.
loving it. Thank you so much.
Thank
And I
you.
just wanted to ask you, I just happened to come across this Zoom meeting, your Zoom meeting on Facebook by chance.
Okay.
How do I get to know regularly that you're having them?
We have a mailing list on the website, which is either WhatsApp, you get a notification by not WhatsApp or by email. You can choose either one. The website is gautamsachdeva.com.
Yeah,
If you
I'm
click
on
there,
that. I've saved it.
no, so there's a link called Get Updates. If you click on that,
Okay.
either
Okay.
you can give your email ID, you will get an email newsletter, or you give your mobile number, you will get a mobile notification.
Okay. Because I've been listening to your YouTubes there for a very long time, but somehow I just didn't know. I thought you were in Bombay and that's where you hold your satsangs.
I am in
And I
Bombay, and
was.
that's where I hold my satsangs.
Yeah, so I'm just hoping and praying that one day you will be holding one in Delhi.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think it's more than maybe a year or two since I came there. God willing, I'll be there soon.
Yes, maybe the God will will it so.
Yes. Okay,
Thank
thank
you so much indeed. God bless you.
you. You too. So let's sit together for a minute in silence. And I know it's been more than 2 months, maybe 2.5 months since Zoom satsang. But hopefully it'll get back to something regular. It would be nice if I can see everyone. Not necessary, but nice. Thank you.